This morning we're going to wrap up the study that we started last Sunday morning about the light of the body. And from Matthew chapter 6, verses 22 and 23, in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus taught us there that the light of the body is the eye. He says, "If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness?" And we certainly don't want to have darkness in us because of the light of our eye being full of darkness. And last week we really were studying about that side of things, what not to look upon so that we're not full of darkness. And that darkness would then be so great. Rather, we want to have our eyes single, where it's full of light, where we're looking on the right things. And as a result, then our whole body can be full of light, which is not going to happen if we are looking on the dark things, if our eye is not single. And we can't have a mixture here. So we want to have none of what we studied about last week. That is, we don't want to be looking at any of the wrong things, but we want to be have our eye to be single, where we are only looking upon those things that God would have us to be looking upon. And in many cases, that is going to be literally what we are looking on with our physical eyes, as we've seen. But in John chapter 8 and verse 12, as we start to turn our attention towards having our whole body full of light, as we're looking on the things that we should look upon, Jesus teaches us in John 8 verse 12, when he says, "I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." So that really gives us the foundation for everything that we're going to be studying for the rest of this morning, which should be the foundation of everything that we study and everything that we practice in our lives. It's based upon that foundation of who Jesus is, and he is the light of the world. And we have to follow him, and if we do, we're not going to walk in darkness, but we're going to have the light of light. So for our body to be full of light, for our eye to be single, and the light of our body to be the eyes, as we are following Christ, then should we be looking at him, looking to him and looking at the things he teaches us to look upon, to then be able to have our eyes single and our whole body full of light? Well, the answer, of course, to that is yes, as we see what Jesus is teaching us to do right there. Now, we're going to have to then recognize right off as the next step is that the things that Jesus is teaching us to follow, as he is the light of the world, as we can then have the light of life by following him, is to look upon the things that are eternal. And those are the things that are of Jesus Christ. This same chapter, just a few verses down, when dealing with these Pharisees who were the leaders of the Jews during Christ's time on the earth, and they were of the world. And Jesus was not. And he said that in verse 23, "You are from beneath, I am from above. You are of this world, I am not of this world." So when Jesus says, "I'm the light of this world," but he says, "I am not of this world," then to follow him, are we going to be looking at the things that pertain to this world? That was really what we were looking at in large part last week. That's not what we're to be doing. And we shouldn't expect to be able to do that if we're following Christ when he says, "I am not of this world." So we're going to have to be looking on the things that are of above, that are from above, where Christ is from. And those are the spiritual things, not the physical things. These will be the eternal things. Proverbs chapter 23 and verse 5. Really, we should start in verse 4 where he says, "Labor not to be rich. Cease from your own wisdom." Literally, that's to cease from our own understanding. We all know Proverbs 3 and verse 5 where he says, "Lean not to your own understanding." Here he just simply says, stop it. Stop from your own understanding. Well, what is the understanding of this world? Why do we work? What's the motivation that most people have? What's driving them? Isn't it a desire to accumulate more, to look, as they're looking more in these worldly things, to obtain more of those things? I mean, that's what they're laboring for. That's what it's all about in this world. Again, I know we studied in much detail about that last week. But verse 5 builds on that as he asks this question. Wilt thou set thine eyes upon that which is not? For riches certainly make themselves wings. They fly away as an eagle toward heaven. Will we set our eyes upon those things that are not? That are not what? That are not eternal, that aren't going to last. And if that's what we're looking to, if that's what we are pursuing after, then that's what we're doing. And doesn't that obviously seem to be a vain thing for us to be looking at or pursuing after things that in the end are going to fly away, just like a bird would fly away? And how many things from this world are we going to be able to take into the next life? I know it's really a cliche, and everybody's heard that, but it's true. But how many people, even though they've heard the words, even though they may understand the concept, how many people are following that, where they're not looking at these worldly things, but looking at the things that are going to be eternal in nature? So we don't want to be having our eyes on these things that are not and set our eyes on those things. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, 16 through 18. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. That verse is also in our bulletin article this morning. But verse 17 says, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. So he does let us know that we have an outward man and an inward man, and this outward man that we have doesn't last either, does it? Nothing that is physical does. And we are pursuing after, or should be pursuing after, this eternal weight of glory that is going to require us to walk this pathway of affliction. But he says is light in comparison and is only last but for a moment. Verse 18 says, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. So Jesus is the light of the world, and if we follow him, we'll have the light of life. But what things are we going to be looking on if we are following him, the one who is not of this world, but is from above? Then we're going to be looking at these eternal things, these things that are not seen. Now, does that sound almost like a contradiction or a paradox for us to be looking at things you can't see? Well, that's what he tells us to do. But we're to be looking at the things we can't see with our physical eyes. But the things that we can see with our physical eyes, those are not the things that we should be looking upon to have our affection on, to be seeking after. We need to be looking upon and pursuing after the things that we can't see with these physical eyes, because they are the things that are eternal in nature. 1 Timothy chapter 6, we have some details about that. In verses 6 through 11, he says, but godliness with contentment is great gain. That's in contrast to what men say in verse 5 when they tell us that or suppose that gain is godliness. Godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. Now we were studying in that context of Matthew 6 where we had the text of this particular series of two lessons we're engaged in. When he's teaching us about the light of the body being the eye, in that very chapter, which we read a good bit of last week or in that section, isn't that where he teaches us not to have our affection on these things or putting our thoughts upon these even necessities of life, food, drink, and clothes? For after all these things do the Gentiles or the nations of the world seek after. He teaches us, Matthew 6:33, to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. All these things that we need, the necessities of life, he says those will be added to you. We need to be focusing on God's kingdom and righteousness. Again, these eternal things, as he's showing us right here. We should be content with our food and clothes. That's not what we should be pursuing after. Verse 9 says, but they that will be rich... Do you even have to be? Do you have to actually have those that abundance of things in order to be caught up in looking at the wrong things and not be looking at the right things? So you don't even have to have it for your eye to not be single and looking at what we should. He says, they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, They have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. We don't want to err from the faith. We don't want to pierce ourselves through with many sorrows. But if our eye is not single and our body therefore full of light by following Christ and looking on these things that are unseen, that are eternal, then that's what's going to end up happening. Verse 11 says, "But thou, O man of God, flee these things." These things that are seen with these eyes that don't last, he says, run from it. Run from looking at those things and loving those things. He says, follow after. Now, do we want some specific examples of the unseen things that are eternal that we need to be looking upon? Here it is. He says, follow after. Now, you may, if you were in here Wednesday night when we were studying in Philippians chapter 3, when Paul says he pressed, it was pressing towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. That word means to pursue. It's the same word that is commonly translated persecute in the New Testament. Of course, that's pursuing in a negative way, when somebody is pursuing or chasing you because you are doing what's right and they are afflicting you as a result of that. But that pursuit of you, that's what the word persecute means. But Paul was pursuing the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Here he says follow after. It's the same word, to pursue. But it's obviously with this single vision and purpose that we are to be going after these things that are eternal, that are unseen. He says, follow after or pursue after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Now, can you see any of those things with your physical eyes? I mean, yes, we see the fruits of them. But it's not like you can describe the physical appearance of righteousness or meekness. I mean, those are not physical things. Those are spiritual things. They're unseen things. These are the things that are to be formed in our hearts. They are real things, but they are not seen physically. They're spiritual in nature and are eternal in nature. But that's what we need to be spending our time, what we need to be looking upon, and what we need to be pursuing or pressing for. To have more righteousness, to be more godly, to have more faith and more love and patience and meekness. Now, if we obtain more of those things, if we spend our lives trying to accumulate that, and we're growing in those things, now, do we leave that behind when we go? Or do those things go with us as part of our hearts when we leave this world and we go into eternity? See, these are the things that will last. And as much of that as we accumulate in this life, we get to keep that forever. That's why it's not at all a waste of our time. In fact, that's the only valuable use of our time, to be pursuing after these spiritual things. In contrast, when we turn to 2 Timothy chapter 2, 20 through 22, and this will tie into a passage that we looked at last week, as we saw David being a man who would set no wicked thing before his eyes, Job who made a covenant with his eyes so that he wouldn't be thinking about things that would not be proper for him to be thinking about, and then we saw Solomon's wisdom expressed in chapter 2 of that book. We read a lengthy passage from there as he gave himself to experience all the things. He pursued after everything, the eternal things as well as the physical things and all of its pleasures, so that he could find out what was good for the sons of men to pursue after. And what did he conclude? These things, these physical things that don't last, it's a vanity to be looking at those things and pursuing after those things. And he gave that specific warning to young people in chapter 11, starting in verse 9 down through chapter 12 and verse 1, where he was reminding young people of the temptation to follow after the sight of their eyes and what their hearts would go after as far as these pleasures are concerned. And he said, go ahead and go after the sight of your eyes. But he says, remember, God's going to bring you into judgment for all these things. And so he says, remember thou thy Creator in the days of thy youth. So that's when we should start. And of course, the conclusion of the whole matter is that we should fear God and keep His commandments, because we're going to be judged, all of us, for all of these things. And we want to be able to, on that day of judgment, for the Lord to say, your eye was single and your whole body is full of light because you pursued after the eternal things. Those things that you're going to be able to possess now forever and ever. But again, this starts in youth. We don't want to wait until we're older to to learn that lesson and to start to practice this. And so in 2 Timothy chapter 2, building on what we just read in 1 Timothy 6, 20 through 22, he says, in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. So we need to purge ourselves from all of these things that we would be looking after or pursuing that are of this world, that are not going to last, that are temporal in nature. See, doesn't this fit along with having our eyes single? He says, purge yourselves from these, but then be prepared for and sanctified and meet for the master's use and prepared to every good work. So we need to be all of one and none of the other. That's what being single is. And it says in verse 22, flee also youthful lust, but follow righteousness, charity, faith, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. So even in youth, this is where it needs to start, to purge ourselves from these things that are desires of the flesh that we shouldn't be looking after or pursuing after, but rather to follow after righteousness and faith and love and peace, the same things that he was directing us to pursue after in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 11. But we can see where he wants us to start. Not when we're older. We got to keep it going. We should be growing in that. But we need to start from our youth. All right, the next thing that we need to recognize that's going to build on that, as we are seeking after these spiritual things that are eternal, these are things that are not going to be able to be seen by those that are of this world. So if we want to even understand what these things are and what they're about and how to obtain them, we have to have our eyes set upon those things and not on the things that are of this world. Let's turn over to Job chapter 28 for a moment and see how this is. This was taught by this man that God said was a complete man, one who feared God and eschewed evil. He feared the Lord. He had obtained these things, and we already saw last week as a good example in how he was single in his eyes, not looking on these physical things and thinking about things he shouldn't, but was pursuing after these eternal things. And he's going to talk about that in detail here in Job 28. Starting in verse 20, he says, whence then cometh wisdom? From where does it come? He says, and where is the place of understanding? See, are these physical things? Can you locate the place? This is the place where you go to get that. Some physical location? No, you can't. He says, seeing it is hid from the eyes of all living and kept close from the fowls of the air. Destruction and death say, we have heard the fame thereof with our ears. God understandeth the way thereof, and he knoweth the place thereof. Now, does man, when we're looking for wisdom and understanding, where that comes from, man doesn't see it. He says God knows the way, the path, or the road to it, and he knows the place of it. It says, for he looketh to the ends of the earth and seeth under the whole heaven to make the weight for the winds, and he weighs the waters by measure. When he made a decree for the rain and the way for the lightning of the thunder, then did he see it and declare it. He prepared it, yea, and searched it out. And unto man he said, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom, and to depart from evil is understanding. So what goes along with having our eyes set upon for us to follow after these eternal things? We have to have a hatred for evil. And we have to have a love for righteousness, which is what the fear of the Lord is. So the fear of the Lord is wisdom. Departing from evil is understanding. So it's having that fear of the Lord and applying it. God will then be the one, of course, Proverbs 2, 1 through 6, He's the one that gives wisdom and knowledge and understanding. But these are the conditions we have to meet to get it. If we don't have a heart to it, if we don't hate evil and love what is righteous and good, are we going to have our eyes single on the things that we should, on these eternal things? We won't then. And then these things will be hidden from us as it is from the eyes of all living. I mean, how many people even have an idea of what they're not looking at and what they should be rather than what they're doing? I mean, this world is in blindness spiritually, but we don't want to be like that. Proverbs 17, verse 24 says, the eyes of a fool are in the ends of the earth. We don't want to be foolish. We don't want our eyes to be all in this world, looking around from one end to the other of this world. That's not the way to be. We need to have the fear of the Lord. We mentioned Proverbs 2, 1 through 6 just a second ago. We'll turn there and read those verses now. Proverbs chapter 2, verses 1 through 6. Again, he's going to mention the fear of the Lord here and how key this is for us to be able to attain knowledge and wisdom and understanding from God. He says, "My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding, yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom, and out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding." So there again we see those conditions to be able to receive these things from our God. And chapter 8 and verse 13 of this same book of Proverbs says, "The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride and arrogancy in the evil way, and the froward mouth do I hate." That's what God's wisdom says. So if we're going to obtain wisdom and understanding from God, we have to have the fear of the Lord, then to be able to set our eyes and see these things that are eternal in nature, that we would then not be walking in darkness. Now, ultimately, where are we going to have to go to learn about those things? God's going to teach these things in His Word. It's not like we can go wander off to some mountaintop somewhere and think it's going to fall upon us by some magic means. We have to go to God's Word to study those things. Psalm 119, verse 105, I think we've all heard this one many times. Beautiful words that say that God's Word, He says, "Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." Do we know where? Do we want to know how to walk or where to go to find the way to go? We need to go to God's Word because it's going to light the way for us, the road for us to walk down. And John chapter 3, Jesus taught the same thing here in the New Testament, verses 19 to 21. "This is the condemnation that light has come into the world." Remember, Jesus said, "I am the light of the world," in John 8, verse 12. He says, "This is the condemnation that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil." See, does the world have the fear of the Lord? The world does not. They don't hate evil. In fact, they love it so that they won't even come to the light or look at it. He says in verse 20, "For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved." Those nasty little bugs that don't like it when you turn the light switch on. They're going to run. They're going to scurry. They don't want to be anywhere near where the light is. And that's really the same way that people are. But it's from the light of this Word. How many people, what's the response that people have to the Word of God? I mean, it's rare to find somebody that's going to come here and look at the attitude we should have in verse 21. "He that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest that they're wrought in God." We want to know. We should want to know, am I doing what's right? Let me go to God's Word and find out if what I believe about this or what I'm doing in my life is the right thing in God's sight. Let me go make sure. Let me see what God says about it. And if it's wrong, I need to know so I can change it. Now that's the attitude that we should have. And if our eyes are going to be single, that's the fear of the Lord we've got to have in us, so that we will then look at these things that are eternal and be able to have those things that God is offering to us that will never be taken away or be corrupted by moth or rust or anything, or stolen by thieves. This is laying up our treasure in heaven. We've got to have this fear of the Lord, though, to come here so we can have our deeds revealed, whether they are wrought in God. But those others, verse 20, the world, they don't want their deeds to be reproved, so they run from the light. They won't come to it. They're trying to stay as far away from it as they can. They hate it. But that's not the way that we would want to be at all. This is our mirror that we should be coming to. I think we all know James 1, 21 through 25, that tells us and teaches us not to be hearers of the word only, but to be doers of the word. And we have to look into this perfect law of liberty and not go away and forget what manner of man we are, as those who are only hearers are like somebody who looks in a mirror and then goes away and forgets what they look like. But if we are going to be a doer of the work, then we will be blessed in our deed. But we've got to go and look into this mirror to see what we need to fix, see what we need to change, and then do it. and not just hear those things. And once we do that, then we don't ever need to be turning our eyes off of this path that's been that gives us the light to follow. Proverbs chapter 4, 24 through 27. Put away from thee a froward mouth, and perverse lips put far from thee. Let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand, nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. So we don't ever want to take our eyes off of this road again. Does that sound like having our eyes single so our whole body will be full of light? We need to have our eyes set right on this road and never take them off of this path. John chapter 1 verse 4, then, as we're studying this pathway that Christ has left us, and in the New Testament, all of this is going to be the Word of Christ. Not just the words that we have about that He spoke, the ones that are in red in most of our Bibles, but all the rest of it in the New Testament, as before He left this earth in John 16, He let His disciples know, I have many things yet to say unto you, but you're not able to bear them now. And then He said He was going to send them the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, that was going to guide them into all truth. And He was going to reveal the rest of what He had to say through that time. And through the rest of the lifetime of the apostles, that was done until the New Testament was completely revealed. But all of that is Christ's Word. And in that we find the Father revealed through Christ. And so we are beholding the very nature of God as we learn the New Testament. And John chapter 1 verse 4 tells us about that. It says, in Him that is in Christ was life, and the life was the light of men. We need to learn the heart and mind of Christ and follow that. That's our light. We're going to learn all those things to pursue after. And then those are the things that we need to be adding to ourselves as we are growing in Him. Now, this is a growth process. As we see Him and we see His life and more of it, and we're pursuing after the righteousness, godliness, faith, and meekness, and patience, all of those things, well, we're going to be growing in more of those things day by day. The inner man, the inward man is renewed day by day. Well, this is a growth process. And it's going to ultimately lead to the goal that we have in Luke chapter 11, verses 34 through 36. If we don't take our eyes off of this road, here's our goal, Luke 11, 34 to 36. This is parallel to His teachings on the Sermon on the Mount that we read in Matthew 6. He says, the light of the body is the eye. Therefore, when thine eye is single, thy whole body also is full of light. But when thine eye is evil, thy body also is full of darkness. Take heed, therefore, that the light which is in thee be not darkness. If thy whole body, therefore, be full of light, having no part dark, the whole shall be full of light, as when the bright shining of a candle doth give thee light. There's the goal there at the end. How much light do we want to have in us, and how much darkness? He wants our whole body to be full of light with no part darkness. Now, ultimately, that's going to then come from what's in our hearts. How much evil do we need to have in our hearts? How much of it needs to be purged out? We don't want to have any. We want it all purged out. We want all of what is good to be in there. There is our goal. Of what we're pursuing after as a Christian and what we're trying to grow to. And as we are striving for that, we can reach that goal at the end when our whole body is full of light and we have no part darkness in us. If we don't have the fear of the Lord, and if we don't set our eyes upon to look upon these things that are unseen, that are eternal in nature, then that won't happen. But if we take our eyes off of these things that are not, that don't last, these things that are temporal, and if we will put our eyes on the things that are of Christ, that are not of this world, and we have our affection on the things that are above and not on the things of the earth, then we can have our whole body full of light with no part darkness, and we can walk unto the Lord unto all pleasing, as His goal is for us to do. And this morning we're offering the Lord's invitation for anyone who has not yet started that process of following after these things that are eternal. Do you want to begin that this morning? You want to put that off longer? You want to keep putting it off until one day it's too late? That would not be wise at all. The devil's in your ear right now saying, nah, don't do it now. Put it off another time. You'll always have time later. But we don't have a guarantee of any time later. We need to start right now. As we've read those words from Ecclesiastes, from Solomon, and we've also read the words through the Apostle Paul to Timothy, for all young people, whatever your age, if you've not yet started to purge out these things that are evil and flee from these desires of the flesh, from looking at these things that are not what our eyes should be looking upon, to instead to look upon these eternal things and to walk pleasing to God, we're encouraging you this morning to get started right now, not to put it off any longer, to become a Christian by repenting, and that really is what the essence of repenting is, so you can then be baptized into Christ for the remission of your sins. If you need to do that this morning, we're encouraging you to obey the gospel of Christ, to become a Christian right now. If you are a Christian, if you have not been looking at the things that you should be, these unseen eternal things, if your eyes not been single, then you have an opportunity to make things right before God at this time. And we're encouraging you to do that if that is your need. Anyone that needs to respond to the Lord's invitation, won't you please come right now while we stand and sing.